You're listening to Virginia Trioli on ABC Radio Melbourne.
So why has Victoria's Forest Fire Management Authority just raised the level of residual risk that's acceptable in fire zones rather than clearing out that build-up of fuel loads? Is it because, as Kevin Tolhurst said to us earlier, it's because the agencies simply can't manage now the controlled burning that needs to be done to manage those fuel loads?
Well, we need to change how we do our business, and prescribed burning has to be part of that, and we need to be negotiating, talking to the communities so that the communities understand why this is being done, and they need to be feel comfortable that what's being done is effective. So there needs to be much better level of connection with the community so that people will accept a certain amount of smoke, knowing that the benefit will be significantly reduced impact of wildfires come summer conditions.
Kevin Tolhurst was speaking to me earlier about this. Chris Hardman joins you now. He's the Chief Fire Officer with Forest Fire Management Victoria. Chris Hardman, I'm glad you could join us. Good morning.
Good morning, Virginia.
Why has that level of residual risk been lifted?
It actually hasn't changed, Virginia. So
I had a terrible feeling you'd say that, and you know that Kevin Tolhurst, who really is, you know, the full bottle on this entire issue. The first question I asked him was this story in the Weekly Times true? And his answer was, yes, it is. But you're now telling me, no, it's not.
No, it's not. And it's my job to know this stuff. This is this is what I do on behalf of the community. So simply what happened, I'm happy to explain, is we were using boundaries based on what was called bushfire risk landscapes. These were really hard boundaries. They didn't align to anything, and the community really didn't. They didn't relate to the community very well at all. So what we did is we looked at fuel risk based on the Victorian government boundaries, so the boundaries that everybody understands, the metropolitan boundary, the Gippsland, the Hume, and those types of things. So we then undertook a brand new development of strategic bushfire management plans, which we developed in consultation with the Emergency Management Services, local government, and interested community members. So those plans, six, one for every region in Victoria, have been developed in full consultation with those groups, and the risks were adjusted to align with the new boundaries. So when you're looking at Port Phillip region, for instance, which is the areas that were most dramatically impacted, and I fully understand, you know, I was an incident controller during the Black Saturday bushfires, so I know exactly what is going on in that space. Those areas, we've adjusted the boundary, but the risk is the same. So we continue to have a 70% residual risk target for the state. The regional components really make up that holistic 70% target. That hasn't changed. That target still remains. It doesn't mean that the work of reducing fuel in some of these areas is really challenging, and I'm happy to talk more about that. But there has been no change, and, fully interrogated, looking at the bushfire risk management plans, that there's plenty of evidence to support that hasn't been artificially lifted.
Well, it seems to me from what you're saying that if you change the boundaries, then you're dealing with a slightly different area of land with a different makeup of forest and undergrowth and fuel load than you had comparatively before. And therefore you can say, the risk hasn't increased because we've actually changed the area of land that we defined as that area. It doesn't necessarily mean, though, does it, that you've reduced the fuel load. You simply just changed the boundary. We're something akin to gerrymandering here, aren't we?
No, the boundary has changed to try and make it easier and better for the community to understand. I would have thought that would have been a positive thing to do, to really
only if that happens at the same time as you deal with the fuel load.
So we have a fully committed group of people that are focused on reducing fuel right across Victoria. So I can talk about the area around Port Phillip. So what we have in these areas is we have very productive forests. They're called wet forests.
You've got Kinlake, Yarra Ranges, Bunyip State Park.
So you've got different forest types. You've got forest types that are treatable with fuel management, and Kevin knows this as well as anybody else, and you've got forest types that are not treatable. So the wet forest, the mountain ash forest, which there is a lot of that in that Port Phillip area, is not treatable. We can't treat those fuel loads with fire. Those forests die. We would lose our mountain ash forests if we put fire into those areas. So what we do is we treat the forest areas that are treatable. So the dry forest, the western faces, and those areas close to communities. We have a extensive mechanical fuel treatment program, and we have a fuel reduction program. It is really hard to burn in those areas. And what Kevin said was right about the community needing to accept that there needs to be more smoke in the landscape. But we don't.
He was making the point that you and others need to work harder to take the community with you on that.
I agree. I think there is always more to do in this space. Climate change is really changing things up for us. You know, we've got longer, drier summers. Our soil moistures are reducing, and it's becoming really challenging to deal with the bushfire risk in Victoria. But we do live in one of the most fire-prone areas in the world, and bushfire is a part of our lives. It will always be a part of our lives. And what we need to do is together with the community to look at how we can minimise the spread and impact of bushfires on the community. So we're not hiding anything. We're fully committed to it. This is what I wake up every day and think about with my team of how we're going to do better. And in fact, yeah, absolutely. No, there is an absolute commitment to doing everything humanly possible to reduce the impact of bushfires on our community.
I think there's clearly much more to be said about this, because sitting in the middle of, you know, he said, she said is pretty unilluminating in the end. And Kevin Tolhurst is someone who I credit very highly, and I know you do too. So we'll talk about this further, but it sounds to me that you don't want this to end up just being an accounting exercise where the boundaries have been changed in order for you to maintain that percentage acceptable risk level.
That would be dishonest. And we're not dishonest people. That would be an appalling.
Well, no, it wouldn't be dishonest. It would just be maybe a bit tricky.
And we are absolutely haven't done that. And I stand behind exactly what we've done.
All right, we'll talk further, but we'll leave it there. Chris Hardman, good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And no doubt we'll talk again. Chris Hardman there, the Chief Fire Officer with Forest Fire Management Victoria. Clear.